if he joined, right. Someone just joined.
This is Jean, I got cut off. I got Josh.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go ahead and start. The time now is 8:01. It's May 28th, 2020, and I call the meeting of the Arizona Board of Psychologists Examiners into order. Ms. Poe, will you please do the roll call?
Yes, Madam Shreve. Ms. Shreve?
Present.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Bohansky? Dr. Davey?
Present.
Mr. Dinar? Dr. Gill? Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malott?
Present.
We have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Let's go ahead and just start with item number two in case Mr. Dinar joined us a little late. This is discussion, consideration, and possible action on application for temporary licensure and approval to sit for the examination and professional examination for professional practice in psychology. Who is the lead on this? This is executive director who's given the
Dr. Meyer is the lead on this application.
Okay. Dr. Meyer, would you like to do a summary?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Jamie Katz applied and his application was reviewed at the last application review committee. He's applying for temporary licensure and approval to set for the ECCC. He completed most of the schooling at Argosy and then graduated from Chicago Professional School of Psychology. And so this was another student that had the residency issue. Dr. Katz completed pre-doc hours and completed internship at Southwest Behavioral Health. His application was complete and looks good, and I would make a motion to accept the application for temporary licensure in ECCC.
Thank you. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was 2 minutes late for signing into the meeting. This is Dinar. Yeah. I'm here if you have already done the roll call.
All right. Thank you for that. And Dr. Dinar, Mr. Dinar, what we did is in hopes that you were going to join us, we took the second, the fourth item on the agenda first. We are hoping you'd be able to join us for the other item. So we have a motion now to accept the application. Is there a second?
Madam Chair, this is Dr. Davey. I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Dr. Flowers?
Is this Dr. Flowers?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Flowers.
My concern, I know there's the issue about residency. This was one of the students kind of the Argosy situation. It appears he did not do residency at the Chicago professional psychology, but I'm wondering if the emergency law or recommendation that we made has been approved, because without that, he is not eligible.
Thank you. Executive Director?
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to answer that question. Dr. Flowers, I can confirm that every waiver request that we have sent to the Department of Health Services has been approved, including this Argosy student waiver, as we refer to it. So, yes, this does open the door for this applicant to be approved.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we weren't just being optimistic. It could have the law behind us as well. No, that was my only question. Otherwise, it does appear to be in compliance with what's recommended or needed for temporary licensure and ETPP.
Thank you, Dr. Flowers. Dr. Flowers, first of all, thank you. I always appreciate your detail, your eye for detail, and making sure we're in the right lane. So go ahead, Dr. Malott.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear about that because that was my concern too. And so is it possible to get a copy of the bill that shows the, you know, that link where, so I'm assuming the Senate just did it in special session?
No, it was, I don't believe it was a legislative. I think it was what one of our changes. Executive Director, would you like to talk about that?
So House Bill 2224 will not pass this session. The session is over. So the board will need to make an attempt again next session for a more permanent solution to this, to resolve the issues with the residency, lack of residency compliance with the Argus Eagle and Argus Eagle students. However, the short-term solution that the board crafted with the waiver exception, that has been submitted and approved by the Department of Health Services. So it is under the auspices of DHS's approval of that waiver that we can accept applications and process applications for the former Argus Eagle students. And ostensibly, if they meet the requirements, pass the ATPP and so forth, they can become licensed under that approved waiver.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you. So we have a motion. We have a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We're now going to move to item number 3 on the agenda. Discussing consideration of possible action relating to complaint 2040 pertaining to Robin Hall, Dr. Robin Hall, including but not limited to the possible summary suspension of her license to practice psychology, referral to the formal hearing, order for fitness for duty evaluation, or other administrative remedies available to the board. Mr. Executive Director, would you like to provide a summary?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm happy to do that. On March 4th, 2020, the board received an open complaint number 2040 against Dr. Hall, submitted by JS, the psychologist, and it alleges Dr. Hall failed to provide timely, certain timely reports of evaluation she was performed despite numerous attempts on their part to obtain them. At last report, none of these reports have been submitted by Dr. Hall. Dr. Hall did submit a written response to the complaint in which she admits to the allegation that states that this was unintentional on her part. She indicated she is coping with an undiagnosed medical condition since early January that has gotten progressively worse. And one of the symptoms is a lapse in memory. She also stated that she has been on an official leave of absence from private practice since March 18, 2020, while attending to the physical and mental symptoms of this undiagnosed condition. Then on May 20th, staff received a fax from SL, a psychologist who rented office space to Dr. Hall. SL terminated this lease, citing a 4-month history of Dr. Hall's office conduct to include nearly daily need to reschedule patients, miss patient appointments, late arrivals or frequently calling in sick, misfiled patient records, failure to complete reports and records or respond to requests for records, and taking frequent extended personal breaks during scheduled appointments, which caused disruption to patients and to the staff. SL's letter to Dr. Hall also states, continued problematic behaviors have put your patients at risk and your stated remedies have not been successful in reducing these behaviors. SL further advised Dr. Hall's failure on her part to enter a treatment program would compel her to report this matter to this board. SL noted Dr. Hall would be permitted to return as a tenant upon completion of an inpatient or an intensive outpatient program designed to help her become accountable and reliable without relying on substances and upon supplying proof of a negative drug screen. Since receiving Dr. Hall's response on May 6th, several emails sent by board staff requesting she supply additional information and clarification have been unanswered. Several attempts to reach her by phone find that she does not have a working telephone number on file with the board. Dr. Hall was provided notice both by U.S. and electronic mail of this meeting but has not acknowledged its receipt, and her attendance and participation in this proceeding is unknown at this time. Ms. Galvin has prepared a memorandum identifying some options for the board to consider, the basis for these options, and her recommendations for the board to consider. Additionally, she has drafted two interim orders for your consideration. One is for summary suspension of Dr. Hall's license, and the other is for a substance abuse and fitness for duty evaluation. I'm sure she'd be happy to answer any questions that you have about that material. Is there anyone on the line representing Dr. Hall, or is Dr. Hall on the line?
Well, I wanted to ask, is the complainant on Bird Sue? Is the complainant on JS? Okay, hearing none, is Dr. Hall or a representative of Dr. Hall on the line? It appears not. So we don't have a, there's not a representative from either the complainant or Dr. Hall here. Let's move into discussion. Any thoughts from the board? I'll start. I have really strong concerns of an individual. There appears to be strong documentation of a lack of professionalism, concern with potential health issues that are not allowing this person to conduct psychology in a professional and ethical manner. I think a fitness for duty request would be appropriate, and I don't think that they should be practicing at this point until we know that they are able to, and that she's even admitted herself that she's having medical issues. It also concerns me that she's not addressing or, you know, contacting our staff when we're trying to contact her to, you know, basically work this situation out. And her lack of participating is also very concerning to me. Anyone else have anything?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yes, I also have similar concerns. I mean, it sounds as if she has not submitted required reports in a timely way, even though by policy they should have been done very quickly. Apparently they've not been done at all. There are also issues about patient abandonment. She simply has not followed through on what's needed, and people have had to scramble to kind of try to cover for her, and so she's placing patients at risk. We don't really know exactly what's going on with her. I mean, she says if it's medical, we don't know. Could be drugs, we don't know. And so I think it'd be important that she not be allowed, you know, that her license be suspended. But until we have a good handle on what's going on medically, mental health-wise, and substance abuse-wise.
Thank you. I would agree. Any other comments from board members?
Yeah, this is Dr. Malott, and I'm in agreement with Dr. Flowers. My question is, since she's not here, so was she subpoenaed to attend this meeting or just requested?
She was not issued a subpoena to attend. She was provided notice, and she has opted not to appear or be represented. The board can still proceed in her absence.
So at this point, I mean, I'm in agreement with the two solutions. One is the consent, you know, the summary suspension, and then the request for fitness for duty. When would we want to have her appear before the board? And what would we need to do?
Well, I think that's one of our questions, is because there's two options. We can request them to come to the board, or within 35 days, you need to hold a meeting. I think it was 35 days. The other one is to appear before, I think it's Ms. Galvin, administrative hearing officer.
Right. If the board votes to summarily suspend her license today, then we have to hold a hearing within about 35 days for either the board or the administrative law judge at OWA to determine whether the summary suspension was appropriate and what the board is looking for as far as a more long-term solution to this. So if you believe that there's sufficient evidence to summarily suspend her license, you would vote today to do that. Then we would send out a complaint and notice of hearing, and that hearing would be held within about 35 days. And at that hearing, I would seek guidance from the board whether you want to revoke her license or perhaps have it remain suspended until such time her underlying issues are resolved.
Right, and I feel almost like because you have a 35-day deadline, if we had the case go to administrative hearing, asking Ms. Galvin to represent us and that, her license continues to be suspended, that an independent evaluation has to be conducted prior to, returning to work, and that would be been presented to us. Is that correct, Ms. Galvin?
So yes.
It would go to the administrative hearing. You would represent us with everything we want, and eventually it will come back to us before she gains her active license again. Is that correct?
Correct. The ALJ, the administrative law judge, will issue a recommended decision, and then it comes back to the board for a final decision.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Diner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Ms. Galvin. I wanted to thank her for the memorandum that is included in today's materials. I have a question regarding the options that we have. So Ms. Galvin, could you please explain the difference, if there is any, between summary suspension and practice limitation on the licensee until such time that we receive a substance abuse evaluation or some sort of board mandated evaluation of the licensee?
So a summary suspension is a method that allows the board to summarily suspend a license if it finds that the public health, safety, and welfare requires emergency action. If you wanted to restrict your license or impose a practice restriction, then you would either have to have her consent to that at this time or go through the process and get it to an investigative hearing stage or informal interview stage, an investigative hearing stage where you could impose that practice restriction. A consent agreement, in my opinion, is not feasible at this time because she is unresponsive, and going through the process, a normal complaint process, is time consuming at this point, and so having a summary suspension gets us to essentially the practice restriction in a more efficient and effective way when we have a potential danger to the public.
Right. So the other difference would be that the summary suspension triggers a 5-year bar for reapplication for a license versus a practice limitation does not trigger that 5-year bar for reapplication. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
It is not correct. A summary suspension is just a suspension for a period of time until we get, for instance, till hearing, or we enter into some kind of other consent agreement where the matter would be adjudicated, finally adjudicated. I don't believe the psychology board has a five-year bar, and that only comes into place if someone surrenders their license or it is revoked. This point, it is we're just seeking a possible summary suspension.
Okay, that is helpful. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And then the suspension would be lifted once we receive the information on the evaluation and, you know, status updates. And I think we've done this in the past, and a person has come back and received their license. Is that not correct?
Eventually, just because we get a report back, it depends on what the report says. If the evaluation says, you know, she's not safe to practice, then we would, you know, continue on with the suspension until the board determines and has evidence that she is safe to practice. If it comes back and says she's fine, there's no issue, she can practice, then we need to decide whether to lift the summary suspension.
All right, thank you. Are there any more comments or questions from the board?
Yes, Madam Chair. I guess another one. Reading through the different possible motions and so forth, a concern I have is that it'd be really clear that the license will not be reinstated, you know, or unsuspended simply once the evaluations are completed. You know, as Ms. Galvin said, we would need to make sure that we review what they say and do whatever else might be needed, you know, rehab, whatever. Before we consider allowing the individual to resume practice.
If the board votes for the summary suspension today, we go to hearing in 35 days to determine whether the summary suspension was appropriate. I am very confident that at that hearing we would prevail and the ALJ would find that the board's summary suspension was appropriate based on the evidence. We would then ask the ALJ, presumably, to keep the suspension in place until we have evidence that she is fit to practice. And that would come either through an evaluation or an evaluation that recommends that she undergo certain conditions or complete certain conditions. It's going to always be up to the board to determine when she is fit for practice, unless the ALJ says that this summary suspension is not appropriate. And like I said, I'm very confident that we will prevail if you decide to summarily suspend her today, that the evidence is sufficient.
Excellent.
Thank you. All right, any other comments from the board? All right, hearing none.
If I could just real quick, you have the memorandum relating to the summary suspension, and then you have the proposed order for a substance abuse evaluation and fitness for duty evaluation. I would like you to take those items separately.
Okay, I'll make a motion that based upon the information and evidence presented to the board today and that set forth in the interim finding of fact and interim conclusion of law, I move that the board adopt the interim finding of fact and conclusion of law and order of substance use and fit for duty evaluation. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Madam Chair,
yes.
One of the discussion, I guess. Again, I'd like it really clear that it's not just substance abuse, that it really also needs to be medical and mental health. It'll be
I'm going to make several motions here, and I think that they cover all of those. So, does that make sense? Ms. Galvin, am I? It also includes medical.
Well, we don't ask for a physical or anything, but we ask for a substance use evaluation and a fitness for duty. If that evaluator, that's usually done by a psychiatrist or a psychologist, addictionologist, or a psychologist who has experience with
substance abuse treatment and evaluation, if they believe that a, for instance, a physical examination or a neuropsych evaluation or neurology evaluation is appropriate, then they would make that part of the recommendation. And at that point, we would then require that. Okay, thank you.
Right.
All right, so that, all right, so the, I made that motion. Is there a second? I think Dr. Davis-Wilson, did you second that?
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. Further, I move that the board find that interim fact, finding of fact and interim conclusion of law require emergency action in order to protect the public health and safety and welfare. Is there a second to that motion?
A second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Given the board's finding that the interim finding of fact and interim conclusion of law requires emergency action in order to protect the public health, safety, and or welfare, I move that the board summarily suspend the license of Dr. Robin Hall, license number 5008, effective upon service of the order. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Thank you. Any discussion? We will
all
need
in
a roll
favor.
Call.
No,
oh, we will
need a roll call.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Poe, would you like to do a roll call for us, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Davies?
Yes.
Mr. Dinar?
Yes.
Mr. Meyer, or Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Vote is unanimous. Motion carries.
Thank you. Also, I'd like to move that the executive director refer the matter to a formal hearing by an Office of Administrative Hearing to commence as soon as possible from the date of the issuance of the order. Is there a second?
I second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? And finally, I'd like to make a motion that we ask Ms. Galvin, who will be representing us at the board after administrative hearing, to request that the suspension of the license continues until such time she receives an independent Dr. Hall receives an independent evaluation by the board approved psychologist, psychiatrist, and is determined by the board that she's safe to return to practice psychology. Is there a second to that motion?
Aye, I second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? And that just gives Ms. Galvin official, our official request of what we'd like to occur. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. That concludes that item on the agenda. That's all of the items.
This is Jean Galvin. Yes. I would just ask for a separate motion that the board issue the order for a substance use evaluation and fitness for duty evaluation. It was kind of embedded in your first motion, but I would appreciate a separate motion on the order for interim order for an evaluation.
Okay, so you kind of cut off on my phone a little bit. So an order for substance use and fitness for duty evaluation?
Correct.
Okay, so I'll make a motion that we order Dr. Hall to have an order of substance abuse and fitness and duty and for duty evaluation. Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Is there any other, anything else we need to do in regards to this agenda, Ms. Executive Director, this item?
No, the board.
Oh, go ahead, Jean.
No, we're good. I will send a complaint notice of hearing to Ms. Peckinon. She will request a hearing from OWA, and she and I will proceed from there.
All right, thank you. I'd like to thank the staff for all, and Ms. Galvin, all your hard work on this item and bringing this to our attention and putting this meeting together. We really appreciate it. And also to all my fellow board members, thank you so much for taking the time out for this, you know, meeting and to get together. I know it wasn't necessarily a scheduled meeting, but we do really do appreciate your participation. With that, there's no other business on the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I shall move.
Second. All right. All right. We have two motions and 2 seconds. All right. I appreciate that. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Again, thank you, everybody, for your